The first reading comes from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up onto the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For as they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I forgot that today was All Saints Day, so I went with the assigned text otherwise. So I will be reading from John chapter 2. "And after he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brother and his disciples, there they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the ones of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' Then the Jews demanded, 'What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this?'" There was a group of kids playing kickball, and one boy went up to one of the other players and said, "You play second." A few minutes later, he walks up to him and says, "Now, when you get the ball, you throw it to me." A boy kicked the ball and didn't do that well. So this same boy runs up to him and says, "You should have kicked the ball a little to the left." Little Susie kind of had enough of this and walked up to him and said, "Who died and made you boss?" Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, and the first place he goes to is the temple. And he overturns the tables of the money changers and those selling animals. He drove out all the animal sellers from the temple. Why? Because where they were doing business was in the area where the Gentiles who believed in God, the God of Israel, were worshiping. So there was a market going on in the middle of a church service, as far as the Gentiles were concerned. And Jesus sort of had enough of this. Now, on Monday morning, he cleans house. Luke chapter 19 says, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers." Monday morning, there had to be a lot of questions about what Jesus had just done. So the chief priests, the experts of the law of Moses, come to Jesus and say, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things." They said, "Who gave you this authority?" In other words, who died and made you boss? Who told you that you could act like this? When you refine anything down, it basically comes down to a matter of authority. Why do you act the way you do? How do you justify what you do and say? See, something compels all of us. Something directs our behavior. And authority is fundamental to all human behavior. Jesus answers their question with a question. He says, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin?" Notice Jesus asked about John's baptism, not John's ministry. Because John's baptism was something new, something that the Jews hadn't done before. Before, the priests had baptism in the temple for Gentiles who wished to become Jews. They were the only ones baptized. John, who is not a priest, baptizes in rivers and streams and tells the Jews that they also need to be baptized for the repentance of sins. So basically, the chief priests were asking Jesus, "By what authority do you give us this new ritual in Israel? Was it from God or human origin?" And it says, they discussed it amongst themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us because they are persuaded that John was a prophet." Jesus' question, his return question, trapped them entirely. So they said, "We don't know if it came from God or man." There you go. When you don't have an answer to it, just say, "I don't know." They didn't know if it was from God or man. And Jesus' answer to them then is, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." In other words, if you cannot recognize divine authority when you see it in action, no amount of argument is going to prove it to you. Sometimes we too question Jesus' authority. What gives him the right to speak in absolutes, whether it's moral, ethical standards? Who is he to give us those commands? We ask the same question: by whose authority does he say these things? Jesus lays down the basis of authority through encounters with the church leaders. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. And still he sent a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. It's not difficult to catch the meaning of Jesus' analogy. The owner of the vineyard is God himself, and the wicked tenants are the church leaders of that day. For they had killed the prophets who God had sent to them to collect his due from the people. Jesus is saying, "I am the owner of the vineyard. I am the rightful heir. You killed the prophets, but here is the Son himself. Jesus continues, and what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, may this never be. Jesus looked directly at them and asked, then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. Jesus says that God's going to act in a very decisive way to these people. 40 years later, the Roman armies would come, surround Jerusalem, capture it, and utterly destroy the temple. What we have today is just the Wailing Wall. That's how effective the Romans were at destroying the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders were led away into captivity. The religious leaders were willing to reject Jesus' authority, not realizing that he was the cornerstone, the foundation of all life, that those who reject him are doomed to everlasting hell. The basis of Jesus' authority is further explained in the next section. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he had said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? There's a good question. Should we pay taxes or not? Especially when we see incredible waste. Waste of billions of dollars every year is wasted, and we pay taxes for that. Then some of the programs that the government supports, we utterly oppose, but yet our tax dollars go to that. So it's still an applicable question today. Shall we pay taxes or not? Roman taxes ended up being 1/3 of your income. Can you see why the people resented the taxes the Romans collected? 1/3 of their income just went to taxes alone. The current religious leaders of Jesus' day taught that the only king of Israel was God himself, and it was treasonous to pay tribute to anyone else. Now, the government can try to mandate who we worship and how we worship, but they don't have the authority to do it. Jesus' authority reaches the human spirit. Excuse me. Our reasons are limited by dimensions. Our minds are limited by time and space. God has a knowledge that we do not have. His knowledge is far above ours. Isaiah 55:9 says it well. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God the Father gave Jesus the authority to do what he did. His authority was beyond the religious leader's authority. It was beyond government authority, and it's beyond our rational minds. So with all this authority, who is Jesus? That was the question that I read in a series of short parables. Who is Jesus? And we know the answer is, he is God. It looks like Jesus would basically have said, I am God. Technically, if you choose to use those terms, I am the boss. And by the way, since you're wondering, I did die and I did rise again. The issue is whether or not we will obey Jesus. Will we obey his commands? Do we look to him as the ultimate authority? Do we allow him to take total charge of our lives? Total charge of our lives, which includes our spending, our attitudes, our relationships, and how we face challenges. Who is in charge at Good Shepherd? That's a question for y'all. God is. Jesus Christ is in charge of all things. He is the ultimate authority. To conclude with a short story, there was a ship captain of an aircraft carrier heading across the sea, and he spotted a light in front of him, and he sent a message, "Please veer to your starboard side." And the light responded, "No, sir, you veer off course." Well, the captain of the aircraft carrier got a little upset, and he says, "Listen, son, who am I speaking to?" And he says, "Seaman, third class." And he says, "Seaman, third class, this is the captain of a USS aircraft carrier. I command that you veer to your left." The response was, "I am the lighthouse." An authentic biblical community submits itself to the authority of Jesus Christ. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.